Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, along with Gloria Wells, who moderates our chat room. I mean, if you guys have not visited our chat room, I encourage you to join in there. They have a whole thing going on on their own, and it's so wonderful to see that their friendships are developing, their support system is developing there. Of course, you have Gloria just feeding you and supporting you as well spiritually, so check it out. Check it out. Good morning, Dr. Reggie.
Good morning, Cynthia.
How are you, precious?
Oh, God, I'm hanging in there.
I know. You had a hard time sleeping last night, didn't you?
I really did. I think I was battling some forces that are unseen.
Well, it happens sometimes. Luckily, today we are in your book study, in your book, the study of your book, The Secret Power of Words. And I tell you, we're in chapter 3, and that is called Say the Magic Word. And it's just our words create our reality. That's the bottom line. And I always teach that our words and our thoughts are our magic wand. Why? Because it is creating our experience. And we don't choose our words wisely sometimes, and therefore we wind up creating things that we don't want, because we focus so much on what we don't want, then we manifest what we don't want. We need to have the discipline to say what we want and end it right there. Say what we want and end it right there. So we're going to go into chapter 3, Say the Magic Word, which begins on page 23 in Dr. Reggie's book. Dr. Reggie, would you please take us into our morning prayer?
Heavenly Father, give us wisdom to know when to say the magic words and when not to. Let us have Holy Spirit discernment when criticism comes our way, and it's not meant to do so, that we learn to respect even that when they're not magical. And we sometimes feel lost. Let us know why we're here in the first place, to do good and uplift humanity and to improve the quality of life, not to judge it or label it. It may seem crazy to other people, but it makes total sense to what we're doing and how you display the information through us. Let us learn to respect that energy at all times. And let us just bestow love in everything that we do, and to always use words of love and empowerment. That is our magic. Not to shut down or to criticize, but to bring upward and forward, to bring empowerment and prosperity. And I believe this is so, and so it is.
And so it is. What a powerful prayer. What a powerful prayer. I believe what you're saying, Dr. Reggie, is that our words should always uplift one another. We shouldn't try to tear one another down, but we should uplift people. We should uplift each other. We should empower each other with our words, because they have magic power. Let's go and begin. I appreciate that. That gentle reminder. Let's go into chapter 3. I'm going to read just a little bit from the chapter, and then I'll let Dr. Reggie expand on it. We have all read stories of fairies and wizards and magic carpet rides to far-off mystical kingdoms and recall them sometimes in our adult lives. But as a child, your imagination took you to those places, and they seemed so real. You remember the word abracadabra? And the word abracadabra is known globally as a magic word of stage magicians. And in many of those fairy tales, you heard the word abracadabra. But however, it is a word of ancient origin and once used by genuine magicians, and is Hebrew from abracadabra, spelled like A-B-A-R-A-H-K-apostrophe-D-A-B-A-R-A. And it means, I will create as I speak. I will create as I speak. It appeared in the Kabbalah and the Gnostic texts of old. It was said to cure toothaches and other illness during the 2nd century. And some of those involved in white magic and Wicca indicate that abracadabra translates to I bless the dead and is one of the 3 holy names invoked in the conjunction of the sword of protection. But you've undoubtedly heard of other magic words such as open sesame or alakazam or shazam or hocus pocus or presto changeo. But of course, the words themselves aren't magic. It is the faith and the intent behind any word that gives it power. It seems that people of ancient times had more faith when they used words of power, but in modern society, we take so much for granted. Christians of the past believed in magic, but today, it is forbidden by our church leaders. So let's delve a little bit more into the history of magic and words. Dr. Reggie says that Moses had a magic wand. We all know the story of Moses. He grew up as an Egyptian and understood the practice of magic that was passed down to him as it was, I think, more of the royal Egyptian children from generation to generation. Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. And we find that scripture in Acts 7, verse 22. So there was no room for doubt, just room for the practice and for the faith. God not only works through man, God works through nature as well. So here's Moses, this man of God. He parted the Red Sea. But what words did he use? Actually, there are no recorded words for this miracle. Moses had learned that this wooden rod that he carried with him had power to do miracles in front of Pharaoh and his magicians. And he had come to depend upon the rod. It was a magic wand. Or you could say it was a walking stick. Or I choose to believe it was a magic wand. And so when he got into a crisis situation, he used that rod along with his intention to part the waters of the Red Sea. He did not point that rod to that Red Sea and say, okay, I hope this works. Somewhere along the line, he grew to trust that if he had an intention and used that rod to operate his intention, that it would work. So when he raised his arms and had the intention of parting that sea to make a pathway, he believed, he had faith that that rod would perform the magic for him and it would happen. So He used the rod and his intention to part the Red Sea, not noting the tools he used and his background in Egypt. Moses was probably considered a wizard or a man of magic. It was easy for him to believe it because he had seen the Egyptian magicians use wands, so it was easy for him to believe that his wand had power. So the question I have for Dr. Reggie, was it his belief and his intention that manifested the miracle, Dr. Reggie?
I believe so. I think that.
More so than the actual rod.
Well, the rod is made of wood. It's natural substance. It's okay. But whatever you use, the rod or a wand represents your divine will. Divine will in magic is associated with the color red.
Mm-hmm.
Moses wore a red cape. He was in the desert, which represents the heat, red. He was on the sand, which means red. He parted the what sea?
Red Sea.
Red Sea. Mm-hmm. The fire that appeared to him in Mount Sinai was the fire of God, the bush. That was symbolized by fire or red, and your divine will. Everything Moses did represented his will
mm-hmm.
and his divine will. He inserted his belief in a faith in something that could not be seen and transported that faith that he had into the use of the wand
mm-hmm.
as a tool. And wherever he used that wand, it worked no matter what. You think your God is bigger than mine? I will show you that there's only one. He threw down the rod. It turned into a snake to eat the snake of the Pharaoh. So that's what the power that was being used.
Mm. Okay. I love how you bring out all the symbolism in this story because it gives us a deeper understanding of the story when we understand the symbols. After leading a group of honorary people in the desert for many days, I'm sure Moses was weary of the griping congregation and wondered why God signed him up for the task. The people were thirsty and demanded the man of God with the magic rod to do something to remedy the situation. And you will remember in an earlier account when God first spoke to Moses and told him that he would lead the people out of bondage, that Moses had a bit of reservation about his speaking abilities. But God granted that Moses' brother Aaron would go with him on the mission and be the spokesman to Pharaoh. But in the situation of providing water for the Israelites, Moses was told by God to do what? To speak to the rock. Moses spoke to a rock, and it brought forth water for the people to drink. And the next time, the people, they were still griping and fussing and needed more water, he was again to speak to the rock to perform the miracle and manifest water where there was none. But instead of speaking to the rock, Moses struck the rock, probably with his rod. And what kind of faith did he have at that point? His faith was in his magic wand or his walking stick. And the Bible mentions that God was upset about this. Why? Moses had become accustomed to using tools of divination to work miracles. But at this point, God wanted to teach Moses and demonstrate to the whining, complaining people that our words have power to create. They were creating more misery for themselves by complaining rather than being grateful that they were no longer under the control of Pharaoh. I just love this part of your lesson here, Dr. Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
So what they manifested for themselves was several more wilderness do-overs rather than moving into the land that had been promised to them. They say that they spent 40 years out there was it 40 years or 7 years?
They could have come out in 7 years. I think it was 40. They spent a long time in the desert. It was crazy.
Right.
They could have been out If they had just listened and learned, they could have been out earlier.
Much, much earlier. The distance that they traveled was really was not that far. They said they could
right.
have traveled it literally in days. But
right.
they were so stuck. And isn't that what happens to us? We get so stuck into our dramas that we have created, our mess, our stuff, and we'll repeat our story to whoever will listen. So every time we repeat the story, we remain in our mess. If you want to get out of a mess, you have to change your words. In other, I love it. You have to change your prayer, which equals, you know, you've got to cast a new reality for you, a new dream, a new fantasy, if you will, of the life that you want. Instead of you know, every time I think of the mess that we're in, I see it as a big, huge swamp with quicksand. And you're trying to pull yourself out, but your words are creating quicksand, and you're just stuck, and you're sinking and stuck. Every word that comes out of your mouth is like quicksand, pulls you deeper and deeper into your mess. That's not how you overcome. You have to overcome, I think Dr. Reggie says it very clearly here, with your divine will, because you recognize that that has power, your emotions, you have to shift out of fear and somehow find love in your heart. Love conquers fear. You've got to find some thread of love somewhere. If you've been betrayed, and you, especially if you have children, if you've been betrayed in your relationship and one of your and a partner has gone outside of the relationship, and you know, and you want this relationship to be whole and complete, you have to find the love. It may be, okay, just the love of my children, and I will do what's best for my children. I love my children. And I'm grateful for my mate that has given me these beautiful children. If that's the only place you can start, then start there. But you have to start instead of saying, oh, this is awful, and how could you hurt me? How could you betray me like this? Why would you treat me like this? You got to come out of that because that's your sinking sand. Lord, I'm grateful for these children. I'm grateful that you have given me the love in my heart to provide for them and take care for them and protect them and guide them. And I will do whatever is necessary to provide a loving in place for them, a loving environment, and to heal this relationship for the sake of these children. You know, you've got to pull yourself up out of it. It's not easy. It may not be easy, but it is so easy to look at their innocent faces and use them as your courage to be grateful. Okay. I love this chapter, Dr. Reggie. I love it. He says, so they manifested for themselves, meaning the Jews in the wilderness do-overs rather than moving into the land that had been promised to them. That was the land of milk and honey. Do you guys recall that? So can you believe that they actually blame God for what they are manifesting, what they were manifesting? And the reality of this truth has hit me so much since I have been teaching Circles of Prosperity that God has given us everything that we need. Our problem is that we don't know how to create it. He gave us the power of our word. He gave us the power of our thoughts. He gave us divine will. So we shouldn't have to beg for anything or blame anyone for anything that is going on in our life that we don't like, because he gave us the power to change it and to create what it is that we want. If you don't believe me, think back on something that you really desired and how you held it in mind, in consciousness. You never doubted that you would get it. And it manifested for you. Everybody has a story. every one of you that are listening to this today have created something in your life that you really desire. Even if it was when you were a kid and it was at Christmas time and you wanted a particular toy and that was it, it wasn't, and you manifested it. You bugged your mom and dad so much and reminded, I want Santa Claus to bring me this. I want this. Oh, I can't wait till I get such and such and such. And I'm telling you, mom and dad will do whatever is necessary to see that joy in your face and give you that toy. So we've all utilized these principles, but we didn't recognize that we were utilizing them. So today I ask you, what are you thinking and what are you saying? Which equals and means, what life experiences are you creating for you today? Are they those of misery or those of success? You have the power to create either one. God is no respecter of persons. In other words, the laws of the universe don't judge whether this is good or bad or right or wrong. All it hears is you are sending out a vibration that says this is what you want, and it says okay, even though you may be wording it as I don't want. But the universe can only say yes to you because it was created to only say yes, to provide you with everything that you need. So how can it can't say, oh, no, that's not what Cynthia wants. It doesn't know how to. It doesn't work that way. It receives a vibration and goes about to create it. Oh, wow. God wants us to know that regardless of what kinds of tools we have at our disposal, our most powerful tool is the spoken word. Wow. That's something to ponder. Attitude plus the spoken word manifests results. I love that formula. Write that down. Attitude plus the spoken word manifests results. There's more to come on this subject in Chapter 8, but we're not there yet. So, Dr. Reggie, You go on to share this experience about the tree that you spoke, Blossom. I remember that story. You want to share that with our audience?
The tree?
Yeah, in our backyard in Cerritos that it never bloomed before.
I remember that one day we were standing outside. And you told me that this tree had beautiful blossoms on it. I said, well, that's strange. I never see them. So I said, I wish I could see what they look like. And we went outside. Cynthia and I went outside. And I said, I'm going to do my hands in the air over this tree and bless it and pray for beautiful blossoms. Was it the next day or 2 days later? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
We got up in the morning.
It was two days later, I think.
And beautiful blossoms showed up. They were just magnificent. And the fragrance was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to fight with the bees and the butterflies to say, I want to smell it first. You know, they said, no, we want to do it first. So they came out. It was amazing to me to say that even you speak to nature and nature listens to you. Because, you know, if Jesus spoke to water and the winds and they obeyed him, he said we have the same power and even greater power.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine him living in this new tech age that we live in? With laptops and personal computers and the internet and super speed transport. What a wonderful place to live. Sometimes it makes us very lazy. But we go back to our minds and say, you know what? I have the power of God in me. Mm-hmm. I am manifesting individually in consciousness as a God person. I use this power to create love and to bring blessings, not criticism or hatred or labels.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, even nature responds in a very favorable way because your intention is holy, your intention is pure and beautiful. Yeah. And always remember that in situations of money, in situations of relationships, in health, and all aspects of this life on planet Earth, you have the control. The control switches with you within.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, I love the demonstrations that we have experienced
yes.
with the spoken word. You know, we've manifested money, we've manifested jobs.
Very true.
You know, healings. So the spoken word is extremely powerful, but it requires that you have total faith. You know, our lesson is have faith and trust in trust. So let's go into invocation, because this is a part of how we charge our words with an invocation. You know, when you go to church and in the church bulletin or on an agenda of a meeting, it'll start with Mr. So-and-so giving an invocation. Well, what is an invocation? An invocation is an invitation to the power or the presence to come near you. So whenever we invoke God, the ascended masters or the angels, we use a reverent approach that allows us to be still and know that we are connected with a higher power. That's the invocation. Now, Dr. Reggie, he was conducting prayer studies and these spiritual sessions and readings for others. We had agreed that he would have a special room to do, you know, to do this work with individuals in the house. And so one Saturday, you know, we had decorated the room and bought the furniture and everything. And so before he started doing his sessions, he said, you know, let me consecrate this room. And there he stood in the room, and I'm standing by the door next to him, and he invoked the Holy Spirit. And there was a wind in the room. And when I say wind, it was more of an energy, but it was powerful, and it was whirling in that room. And had I not been standing by a door to hold onto the door, it actually pushed me, and the door blocked my fall. I would imagine that's what it means to be slain in the spirit, because it was so powerful and it was dizzying. But he invoked that power in that room, and it had a physical manifestation. So invocation is very powerful. And be warned, because if you call upon the Holy Spirit and if you call upon angels or guides, they will show up. They will show up. So I've seen Dr. Reggie do this in all of his new moon rituals. He invokes that power. And people in the circle, they will begin swaying, or they feel different parts of their bodies tingling, or people touching. I'll never forget the lady. One lady felt something touch her shoulder, and she jumped up and ran out of the house. Do you remember that, Dr. Reggie?
I do, and she never came back. She was complaining about some people who had died in her house, and she felt their spirit. And I told her, I'm going to pray for those people to send them on. And I guess a confirmation of them, you know, when you die, there's always energy. We live in a parallel universe anyway, because the earth itself has a soul. So I prayed for those people, and they were sending and going out. One of them came in the room and touched her, and she jumped out of that circle, screamed, and she ran out, and she never came back. And I hope she's okay.
I'm sure she is.
But she has a story to tell her kids.
I know. And a lot of that is your expectation. That was her expectation, but she had a fear of it. So how much of that she attracted to herself? You know, it goes to a deeper understanding. We let our fears, you know, take place. In this chapter, Dr. Reggie gives you invocations. I hope you have the book. He gives you invocations to bring in some of the more powerful archangels to help you at certain times in your life, like the invocation to Ariel, Archangel Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings peace to your body and your feelings and your mind so that you can live in a state of grace. He gives you the invocation to Gabriel. Archangel Gabriel will assist you in the resurrection of your emotional, your mental, your etheric, and physical bodies and grant you higher understanding of the secret mysteries of the new.
Sure will. Yes.
And then he talks about the invocation of Archangel Michael for protection and to increase your faith, to help you align with your divine will, to bring prosperity and abundance and healing, and to energize and attune you with the source.
I got to stop you just for a second. That's very true. I remember when we lived in Los Angeles, there was a girl who was kidnapped, and some people kidnapped her, and it was on the news saying that, and Cynthia's brother, who's an LAPD officer, retired now, working on this case, I forgot, it's the 77th District, I think, in California, asked me if I could tap in to help. So I invoked Michael, the angel, and Michael whispered in my ear and came to me and told me that the van, what the ID number was, the license plate of the van, where the girl was, and they were in Jalisco, in Mexico. So this lady called me. She said, "Oh, my God, that's right. How did you know? They're in Mexico right now." And I didn't tell her how I knew, but they used me in some of their investigations. And they said they didn't catch this woman or the people before Friday, she'd be dead. Well, I saw her tied up in the van. I gave them the license plate number and everything, and they found her, thank God, before Friday. And her brother thanked me for doing it, and the lady from the LAPD thanked me for solving the crime. They're still shaking their heads, wondering, how did that happen? Because I don't have any key to know who she is, but I invoked Michael. Michael is a protector.
Mm-hmm.
So you protect energy that you can't see. God works through angels as a secret agent to watch over you in your sleep at night, in your house, but invoking them is very powerful. So please do this.
With reverence.
Yes.
With reverence, right. Let's talk about how words are charged with power. You say, if you go to a concert and you hear great music, you may think you are perceiving it outside of yourself. Yet all external information is processed internally through your brain and mind so you may understand and remember it. And guess what? That's all vibration. Words are vibration. I was doing some research this morning about the vibration of words, and I've shared this with you before we jumped into this book study, because words are actually the vibration that stir and impact substance, which we understand substance is this unseen stuff that everything is made of. So he's saying you're out there, you're hearing this music, but it's a vibration, and your brain interprets that vibration, and your mind interprets that vibration so that you can understand it. So the formation of any verbal response is also initiated internally. Words start in the mind as a thought from inside the mind. And before any word is ever uttered, there is a thought or an intention and an exercise of faith, and a charge of emotion. So words are precipitated by these things. Therefore, spoken words are really the second step in the process of creation. Remember, I'm saying if you're in the middle of the mess, the first thing that you have to desire is to be outside of the mess. Don't spend your time acknowledging the mess. Acknowledge what you want to have happen. That's where you should be. And that begins in thought. What am I, you know, what is my daydream? What is my fantasy? I tell you, when you're creating, don't cut yourself what's the word I'm looking for, Dr. Renji? Don't slight
right,
yourself.
Right, exactly.
You know, don't limit the possibility, because what does the Bible tells us? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That means through that divine energy within you, you can do all things. But, you know, we start compromising and saying, oh, that's not possible. Oh, that won't happen. Oh, well, this is a little bit more reasonable. If there's something that you really desire, be bold enough to claim it. Be bold enough to say, I declare and decree, and so it is. All right. So He's telling us that it begins with thought. Now, listen what he says. Thought is an energy wave and is said to travel faster than light. But where is it traveling to? It is filtered through the cosmic mind of God. Thus, he or she knows our every thought. And onward to planetary collective consciousness, where it becomes a droplet in the pool of human consciousness. And then it travels on, sending an energetic impulse or signal to them or the person being thought about. This is why it's so powerful. When you send your kids off to school, how many of you walk your kids to school or you walk them to the bus stop and you're like, oh, God, please bring my children home. You know, rather than them beg, or you really need to say, I stand over your children and say, I'm invoking Archangel Michael for your protection, and that you return home safely. I declare and decree, and so it is. Isn't that much better than worrying about them? Knowing that they are protected. Knowing the power of your words to protect them. If you are having strife in your relationship, send a prayer, a blessing over that other person. Send the forgiveness to that person. The thought travels much faster than you picking up the phone and trying to reach them. And it stays in its pure form. That's what I love about it. You don't have to worry about what's going to come back at you on the other end of the phone when you send those loving thoughts out. And you wait for those loving thoughts to reach that person and soften their heart so that they can come back to you in love. It'll be reflected back to you. Isn't that right, Dr. Reggie?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I love how you say it travels on, sending an energetic impulse or a signal to that person being thought about, or to the item being thought about.
Yes.
This is called what the law of attraction will bring that thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you want to add intention to the equation. You know, I'm laughing because, Dr. Reggie, this sounds like we're stirring up a brew here. Get your thoughts together, then pour in a little intention. Intention, what is your intention? What is your intention? It needs to be loving. You're not seeking revenge. And let me put it this way. You have the choice. You can say, okay, I'm going to get my revenge. I'm going to really show them. But that's not the best use of your power. Because whatever revenge you want to enact on someone else, it's going to come back to you tenfold. So your intentions need to be loving for the highest good of everyone. It's not even about manipulating someone. I'm going to make this person love me. No. It's about, if this is for the highest good for all concerned, then let this relationship be healed. Amen. So as spiritual beings in human form, our spoken words are even more powerful when they are fueled with emotional intent. We just came out of the book study of Spiritual Partnership by Gary Zukav. What is the first thing he says when we want to heal? First of all, do we have the courage to face our fears? And then can we face them with love? And he's asking us, find out what you're feeling. He goes straight to the energy centers. What are you feeling in your chest? What are you feeling in your stomach? What are you feeling in your head? Do you have a headache? These are indications. Your emotions are your Geiger counter. They tell you. What you're feeling, if this is a fearful thought, if it's a warm and loving thought, your emotions, if it's a problem, they tell you. Your emotions tell you. So he says, when you have a loving or positive thought, it creates a higher vibration. A harmful or negative thought has a low vibration. Thoughts are like missiles or darts being fired from the mind of one to the mind of another. Your emotions are the fuel that push that thought forward. It's the rocket fuel. I love how Abraham Hicks defines our thoughts. She says, these are rockets of desire. Isn't that something? Rockets of desire. So how do we extinguish the fiery darts of evil? By picking up the shield of faith. So when you add faith to the spoken word, meaning that there's no doubt, you're not going to say, oh, I'm going to reach out to this person for forgiveness, but I don't know how it's going to work. No, that's not faith, is it? But I don't know what they're going to say. That's not important. What's important is you focus on you and your belief. You can't control the other person. The only thing you can control is you. So now, where is your faith? I am doing this. I am sending out love. I am sending out forgiveness. And I know my words will not come back void. In other words, I know it's going to be returned to me. I'm sending love. I'm sending forgiveness. Okay. Faith, when faith is added to the spoken word, the energy to create increases. Faith is the fuel. Let me watch my time here. I'm sorry. Faith is the fuel to manifest desire into reality. But what exactly is faith? You know, I think this, we're getting short on time, and I really want to spend the time on this lesson tomorrow because it's so important. So I'm not going to jump into this right now. We'll pick it up tomorrow. If you have a question or comment very quickly, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. Otherwise, I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer. Wow, Dr. Reggie, this is amazing. We're charging our words. First, we're understanding that it's that we're understanding that thought precedes the word.
And how
we have to have clarity in our thought, which means our intention is very clear. And now we're going to move on to faith tomorrow.
Do you know that those kind of thoughts, fueled with that kind of intention and belief, has fueled empires?
Yes, it has.
And created them. So you never know where we're going to come from, what's going to happen. With the power of faith behind us, you can do anything.
That's
can.
True. Tomorrow, we're also going to talk about 17 seconds of pure thought and the power that it has. I hope you tune in tomorrow as we continue this powerful lesson on speaking your words, saying what you desire, and saying the magic word. Dr. Reggie, will you take us into our closing prayer?
As we breathe in life, we give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, and for everyone who listens to this broadcast, that they are bestowed with a fantastic, magical power brought down to them with the power of their words and their intention. Let them realize the truth in you and the truth of their own being. As we walk in the power of love and light in our jobs, at home, and wherever we go, we know that angels and invisible forces of creation watch over us and protect us. Let us invoke them and let us know that you have the ultimate power to control everything in our lives if we so desire. Let us desire love and peace and prosperity and abundance for ourselves, to be shared with others in the world to help improve the quality of life on earth, especially for our children and those who are in dire need. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Well, we'll be here tomorrow at 7 o'clock as we continue our book study. I hope you will join us. And write to me. Let me know if you're enjoying this. You can, my email address is on our homepage at Blog Talk Radio, Circles of Prosperity. Send me an email. I love you guys. God bless.